Death, I'm not afraid of, he said as he twisted his wrists in the bindings that were now beginning to eat into his skin. The room was a man-made cavern of featureless concrete. It was black, except for the two strategically placed flood lamps. He hung by his wrists, the tips of his toes grazing the cool floor. An oily breeze washed over his filthy, naked body every so often, and the floods would wobble on their red tripods. The place reminded him of a parking garage, except on a cyclopean scale, with no openings that he could see or intuit. In the distance, he could just make out the smooth curves of enormous pillars. Don't faint on me yet, said the woman. She paced around the suspended man. When she stepped into his field of vision, the light hit her in such a way that she glowed like a white desert sun. She was a brilliant shape of a woman. Hers was a gauzy voice from the void. If the diesel breeze blew at just the right moment as she passed, he could smell her perfume mixed with her sweat. This would cause his exposed penis to stiffen slightly, until the numbness in his wrists once again gave way to spikes of biting agony. I'm not fading. I'm just pausing for effect, he said, trying to be charming. He couldn't tell if it worked. As she passed behind him, she was the dark side of the moon. How long have we been at this? She asked of no one. There was silence. Are we starting over again? Asked the suspended man. No, said the woman. Pick up where you left off. The suspended man twisted his wrists and his bindings again. I forgot what I was saying, he grunted. You were saying that— I'm not afraid to die, he blurted, remembering suddenly. I've made peace with that whole idea. Now before, when I had religion, then I was a total mess about death. I was very afraid of hell. Heaven, as it was described to me by the old religious people, didn't much appeal to me either. It was bad enough I was stuck in that nowhere little town that I hated and found so boring, but heaven was apparently just like that town. Except I didn't know the streets, and it was going to be forever. I was going to be stuck in someone else's small-minded idea of paradise. After a long time, but very quickly after the notion finally dawned on me, I began to realize that it was all just a bit too much to believe in. I didn't have the imagination to sustain belief in supernatural beings and an afterlife as a physical place. I felt frightened and alone. I felt lied to. I fell into despair at the thought of no heaven, or no loving God, or none of that feel-good stuff. I mean, what would happen to my soul? I guess that it would mean my immortal consciousness would just fly off into outer space, and I'd be truly alone forever in an infinite, empty cosmos. This was an existential damnation from which I almost didn't emerge. I spent a long time rolling the torturous possibilities of that end that wasn't really an end in my mind. The suspended man stopped for a moment as the illuminated woman passed in front of him. The breeze rose and fell. You smell fantastic. Keep going, she prompted. Well, you're pretty and you've got nice hair. You dress well and... the mixture of that perfume you're wearing and your sweat, it's driving me crazy, and I mean, keep going on about the existential damnation, she corrected. Oh, yeah. Well, it lifted. See, I'd been a fool. The answer had been there the whole time. Of course my soul wouldn't go on floating out in the endless frigid void, because there was no such thing as a soul. These ideas were just constructs that our ancestors had invented out of fear to shuck off our mortality. But for me, it had had the opposite effect. The idea of going on forever and not being able to find some kind of eternal happy place, well, it had thrown me into a crippling slow of despond. The epiphany was that life and death is a binary system, that you're either on, that is alive, or you're off, dead. Mortality, in that moment, had become defanged. There was no more Grim Reaper. It was simply not life, not being on, like sleeping, only nothing like sleeping, because your systems weren't just slowed down, but they were permanently stopped. There was an absence of conscious processes. The reason it was the great unknown was because it was a state that could not be known any more than a rock or a beam of light can know anything. The circling woman undid the top two buttons of her blouse. "It's getting hot in here," she said. "It's the lights," said the suspended man, trying to be helpful. "And I didn't get to shower today," she said, a bit defensive. "That's probably why you can smell me." "No complaints here," said the suspended man. "I'm a mess too." The illuminated woman lifted the hem of her skirt to the top of her thigh, revealing the knife concealed there. She slipped it from the elastic band of her hose. The blade gleamed in the hot floods, causing a slice of light to dance across the suspended man's face and down his soiled chest. "So what is it that does make you afraid?" she asked. "If not death, then what?" A bead of sweat ran down her neck just then, threatening to disappear between her breasts. She caught it deftly on the blade. "You don't know already? Haven't you been listening to me?" His wrists were completely numb again. She inspected the droplet of perspiration as it hovered on the plane of the knife blade. "Humor me." He looked up again to where his bindings disappeared into blackness. Shot and left to die. Stabbed and left for dead. Mangled in a car wreck. Asphyxiated, drowned, starved, tortured, terrorized. "The thing I'm most afraid of is suffering." The illuminated woman turned the blade vertical then, and the sweat bead dripped to the floor. "I'll see what I can do," she said, and came over to him one last time.